Praise the Lord. Amen. Would you stand with me as we honor the reading of God's Word, musicians? Thank you so much. And in your copy of God's Word, would you turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 18? And we'll be reading verses 41 through 46. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 41 through 46. Then Elijah said to Ahab, "Go up, eat, and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain." So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, "Go up now, look toward the sea." So he went up and looked and said, "There is nothing." And seven times he said, "Go again." Then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, "There is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea." So he said, "Go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you." Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Amen. This morning, for the next few moments, I want to preach to you on the subject, little is much when God is in it. I said, little is much when God is in it. Let us pray. Father, we sang hallelujah. We worship you this morning. We gave offerings to you. We reported what you're doing. Father, we have experienced your presence. But Father, right now I pray that our hearts will be open to receive the word of God. Lord, there's individuals here today that need to be encouraged, not by just some razzle-dazzle sermon, but they need to be encouraged by the word of God. You are speaking, oh God. Let your word encourage us. Let your word refocus our attention away from what's happening downstairs and focus what's happening upstairs. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let heaven kiss earth as we continue to serve you here today. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit will move mightily among us this morning in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen, amen. You may be seated. I want to start talking about a tomato plant, something that my wife and I have been discussing. My wife and I were so different. I was raised in New York City. I was raised in a concrete land. My wife was raised in small towns. But it's an amazing how God brings opposites together. How many of you marry an opposite and you're glad? Amen. Praise the Lord. You don't want to, those of young people, pray that God will bring someone that is not like you. Amen. Not like you. You want to balance. So my wife likes to plant things. She likes, well, I was talking about you, Rebecca. Amen. And I told them you were ministering to somebody just now on the phone. But my wife, she likes to plant and gardens, that kind of stuff. But this year, we weren't able to do that because of our schedule. But she said, you know, I got to do something. So she went to the store and she purchased a little stalk, a little, 4 or 5 inches, a tomato plant, one. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just one. And she went home and she planted it in a pot. And that's going to be her garden this year in light of our schedule. And she babied that thing. She's been watching it. And then it's Brother Molander, it's grown. It's grown. Brother Molander, you did tomatoes for many years. So it grew to about maybe a foot. and then on the pot, and then a wind came and knocked it over, so she had to put a stake on it. I mean, this is a major project. So put a stake, a little string around it, and then about a week and a half ago, it grew maybe about yay high, and she said, "Oh, Albert, come, look. There's a tomato. It's happening. Oh, this is exciting." So I went, okay, exciting. So I went to the plant, and she goes, "Look, there it is." I go, "Where?" "There it is." "I'm sorry, where?" "Look, and there in that stalk, there in that whatever you call tree stalk, I don't know what you call these things, there was, folks, a bitty tomato looked like a sweet pea. It looked like a sweet pea. It was green and small, what, a quarter of an inch? And she was so excited about that pea-looking tomato. Wasn't even red. Green, small, excited. She was excited because when she saw that little bitty pea-looking tomato, she saw the future. She tasted the future. She was celebrating what was going to be. I, on the other hand, didn't see the future. I saw a pea-looking tomato. And my response was, "Are you sure you planted a tomato? That looks like a pea." I was not as full of faith as she was. My thought was, if that is a tomato, be realistic. It's not going to grow into much. But she disregarded my perception. She disregarded what I thought. And she kept her eyes on the little pea. Because she knew this was a tomato. This was an answer to her prayer. It wasn't much, but she was willing to celebrate it. I took a picture of it this morning, and it was maybe a little bigger, maybe like a double the size, and I was going to show it to you this morning. I figured you could get the picture. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance or the realization of things hoped for or things you're waiting for, the evidence or the confidence of things not seen." Faith is seeing what God is doing. Faith is seeing not just the now, but the then. Faith is sees the little pea-looking tomatoes and sees a whole plate of tomatoes with olive oil and parsley over it and celebrates what will be. See, folks, often we pray and we ask God to do a work. "Father, do a work in this situation. Do a work in my life. Do a work in that person. Do a work in this situation. Oh, God, perform a miracle." We cry out to God. We sow in tears. And after we do that, then suddenly we see something. We're praying for our tomatoes. And suddenly there's not many tomatoes. It's just one little bitty pea-looking something. It's not what we envision. It's not the size that we saw in our mind's eye. It's not the shape. It's not the color. It's not the timeline. It's not spectacular. It's not what our prayer partners have been praying, decreeing for us. And if you're not careful, you will miss God. Because many times God does not answer with an instant plate of tomatoes. God sometimes answers you with a little pea-looking tomato to get your faith going. And if you're not careful, you're going to miss God. That's not an answer to prayer. I was praying for the big thing. God, you're teasing me. God is saying, "I'm not teasing you. I'm trying to grow your faith." Zechariah chapter 4 verse 10 says in the New Living Translation, "Do not despise these small beginnings." Don't despise these pea-looking tomatoes. It is an answer to your prayer. Perhaps you have a wayward child not living for God. You took them to VBS. They grew up in a youth group. They're not living for God. They've told you they rejected God. Then one day they send you a text. Ma, can you pray? Someone else may say, oh, that's no big thing. That's just desperation. They need to be in church. But if you look at that pea-sized tomato in faith, you realize, my God, that's a miracle. He texted me, she texted me, Ma, pray. I'll take that. I'll get excited. I'll celebrate it. God is working. But have you have an unsaved husband? Was nothing to do with church. And one day he tells you, I might go to church Christmas. Everyone else tells you, that's not good enough. But you've been praying. You're saying, God, thank you. That's a pea-sized, pea-looking tomato. I'll take it. Lord, thank you. You're working in this life. Perhaps you're going through a financial difficulty and you're trying to tithe, trying to give God his 10%. You're tithing and things are hard. And you're trying to make ends meet, but you're trying to be faithful in your obedience to God. And suddenly you get an unexpected $15 refund from a medical bill. It's only $15. McDonald's for two, maybe. It's not much. But you look at it carefully, you realize, Lord, thank you. You are reminding me that you are my source. Thank you for reminding me that what is $15, $1,500, you own the cattle on 1,000 hills. Someone else says, 15 bucks, that's nothing. And you're saying, 15 bucks is more than what I had before. I've been praying for God to provide for my needs. Maybe you've been praying for healing. And it's difficult for you to get out of bed in the morning. You hurt. And maybe yesterday you got out of bed, less pain. You were able to throw both feet over the bed without pain. And you say, man, I feel good better today. And you say, and the danger is you say, oh, this is not much. This is just a fluke. But when you are in prayer, you say, Lord, thank you. This is less pain. I'll take it. This is the pea-looking tomato. It's not my full healing, but it's a preview of what is to come. Hallelujah. I don't know who you are this morning, but I'm here to remind you, little becomes much. Little becomes much when you place it in the Master's hand. Look for the little pea-sized miracles. Look for the little pea-sized answer to prayers. And when you see them, you say, you sing a hallelujah. Hallelujah, because God is working. And don't let anyone take you away from that. Take that away from you. In this story, Israel had experienced a 3-year drought because of their sin. They were controlled by an evil king and a more evil wife. And God has sent the man of God to tell them, because you have denied the true God and began to worship the false god of Baal, the god of rain. The true God is going to shut down the rain from heaven. Shut down the so-called Baal. And for 3 years, the land experienced a drought, no rain. A drought that was an indictment against Baal worship, the rain god. And God was flexing his muscle. God was showing himself mighty, saying, I am the one that controls. I am the one you ought to worship. I don't share my glory with any other god. And you know the story when you read chapter 18. after 3 years or so, God tells the man of God, go, I'm going to send rain. He gets a word, I'm going to send rain. Go to the children of Israel, go confront Ahab. They have a big showdown in Mount Carmel, where they set up two altars, the altars for Baal, and then eventually they built the altar, rebuilt the altar of God. And I said that we're going to worship, you're going to worship your God, we'll worship our God, and the God that answers by fire, he is God. And then so the prophets of Baal set up the altar and they worship for hours and hours and hours. Nothing. They cut up an animal, a sacrifice there. They danced. They did everything. But nothing happened. And then Elijah went over to the altar that he rebuilt and just said a simple prayer. God, show yourself mighty. Just show yourself mighty. And God answered by fire, and the fire came and consumed the entire sacrifice, the altar, and all the water they had poured there. And God showed himself mighty. And after that, the children of Israel began to worship God, and the 450 prophets of Baal were executed. So that's the backstory. Now, verse 41. Then, after that happened, then Elijah said to Ahab, go up and eat and drink, for there is the sound of the abundance of rain. There is the sound of the abundance of rain. Now, when I read this, I'm thinking, okay, that's weird, because usually when rain is coming, it's something you see from a distance. We live in Old Katy, and many times we're in Old Katy, we see the clouds coming from north, from Cyprus, or we see the clouds coming from Richmond. You can see them from a distance, and when the rain comes. But here, they weren't seeing, he was hearing. Or sometimes you could smell rain. You could smell when the rain's coming. But here, the man of God was saying, hey, listen, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. I hear the sound. Listen, when you read the Bible, you see that God oftentimes does previews with sounds. When he speaks, when he moves, when there's thunder from heaven, the sounds is associated with the move of God. In 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 24, God says here, and it shall be, God's telling David, and it shall be when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees, then you shall advance quickly, for the Lord will go before you to strike the camps of the Philistines. And when you hear the angels, the angelic host of angels walking on the top of trees, that's your cue to go. Sound. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 2 verse 2 says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind and filled the whole house. Hallelujah. Do you hear the sound of the abundance of rain? Hallelujah. You know, I don't feel rain. I don't see rain. I'm asking you this morning. No, I'm not asking you. Do you see it? Do you smell it? But do you hear the abundance of rain? God had promised Elijah that he will send rain to a dry and thirsty land. Israel will once again flourish after having turned their hearts back to God. Now Elijah was hearing rain coming, even though no one else heard it. At this point, he began to hear rain, but I want you to pay close attention in three actions that Elijah performed when he heard the rain, when he heard the promises of God coming. Hallelujah. When he heard the rain, in order to receive the rain from heaven, three actions that he did when he heard the rain to prepare to receive the rain. This morning I ask you, what do you do when you hear God working? Some of you, you've been in prayer and you've been hearing God working in your situation. And you're saying, what do I do next? I'm here to provide you three steps, and then we're going to close in prayer. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond this morning. What do you do when God is working? You hear him working. He's giving you a promise. You hear the abundance of rain. How do you prepare? What do you do to receive? Number one. If you're writing this down, number one. We see Elijah providing us a paradigm. And I'm asking you to embrace this and practice this week. Number one, he postured to receive. He postured to receive. He changed his position to receive. Verse 42 says, then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees. Oh, Pastor, I know what that means. That means that he got down, he bowed down to pray. He got down to pray. He was humble and he trusted God and he knew that this had to be a God thing. Yes, that's true. But when I read this, what I find interesting here, it doesn't say that he bent down, he bowed his knees and he prayed. It says here that he put his face between his knees. He put his face between your knees. I used to be able to do that. I can't now, but some of you are more nimble than I am. But if you sit down and you lean forward and you put your head, your face between your knees, you know what that means? You're covering your ears. You're covering your ears. Your knees have become mufflers, ear mufflers. He knew that he needed to tune out all the other sounds that he was hearing. He needed to tune out the cheers of people saying, man, you're the man, you're the man. You pray and fire came down. He needed to be careful because sometimes you start believing your press releases, you get full of pride. He had to tune out the cheers. He had to tune out the opinions of people. He had to tune out the criticism of people. Tune out. And he had to tune into the sound of the abundance of rain. He had to tune into what God was doing. Hallelujah. And some of you, God is working. You hear the sound and you're trying to hear the sound of the abundance of rain and hear everything else. How can you hear God if you're busy spending hours and hours and hours on Facebook? How can you hear God when you're busy spending hours and hours just talking nonsense? How can you hear God when you're busy whining? Sometimes you have to, like my wife preached a few weeks ago, shut in with God. Shut in, shut out the noise of the world and shut in and just listen to the sound of the abundance of rain. That's what he was doing. He was postured to receive, attentive to hear God, not to lose the signal of God. And sometimes you have to move locations like a phone. You have to move like, oh, I have a bad signal here. I gotta hear God. Oh, I get closer to the cross. When I get closer to the cross, I have a better signal and I hear the abundance of rain. The posture to receive. But number two, what the man of God did to receive, persistence to receive. Verse 43, Elijah said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And seven times he said, go again. He told his servant, I'm praying. I know the rain is coming. I know it's not a matter of if, it is a matter of when. I know the rain is coming. I'm not asking you for your opinion. I'm telling you, I know God has shown me that he will answer prayer. If God said it, he'll do it. If he spoke it, he'll bring it to pass. I know it. But go look. It's the rain coming. And seven times he told his servant to look. Can you imagine that after the second, third time? Did you look? Yeah, nothing there. Nothing, just blue sky and blue water. Go look again. Are you sure? Go look again. He goes and looks. Nope. Comes back. Hey, man of God, can you move your ears from your knees, please? Nothing. Nothing. There's nothing there. That's nothing. Oh, I have faith. Yeah, I have faith. But there's nothing. Nothing there. Go look again. Are you sure? Sure. Goes again. Looks. Left, right, north, south. Comes back. Man of God. Nothing. Nothing. I have faith, but there's nothing. Seven times. And on the seventh time, The man, he goes, look, he goes, what? He comes back. Well, man of God, there's something, a little bitty cloud, really small. Don't get excited. It looks like a pea. It's a pea size, small, not much. Don't get hyper spiritual on me now. I see what I think is a cloud the size of a man's hand. I see a cloud. Here, this is what I wanted to emphasize to you this morning regarding persistence. Jesus said in Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given. And the word ask is translated ask and keep on asking. Keep on asking. Keep on asking. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and keep on seeking. Keep on seeking and you will find. Knock and keep on knocking. Knock and keep on knocking and it will be open to you. Don't stop looking. God has given you a word. Don't stop looking. Other people tell you there's nothing there. You're wasting your time. You're being too spiritual. Don't stop looking. If God has given you a word, he will perform it. Hallelujah. Don't stop believing. But as I was reading this, I noticed that it says here was seven times. The word seven in the Bible is the number of completion. It's the number of perfection. Seven times. This speaks of God's timing. Of God's timing. Seven times speaks of when God has completed the work. God created the heavens and the earth 6 days, and on the seventh day, he rested. It was complete. In the Bible, the number seven means completion to perfection. What God is doing. You don't want God to stop in four. You don't want God to stop in six. You have to learn how to wait until God gets to seven. In other words, you have to wait until God has completed the work that he has for you. Until God has prepared you in the situation for a match. It speaks of God's timing. It speaks of the process of waiting. The process of waiting. The process of having your faith strengthened. Of having your faith strengthened for the assignment. It speaks of waiting. Seven times. He could have quit after four times, after five times, but he kept on. He kept on. Because God was trying to draw him to a level of faith for him to be able to receive what God had for him. And some of you've been praying for a miracle. You've been praying for an answer to prayer. And you're saying, God, why? You're playing games with me. God has said, no, I'm trying to build in you stamina. I'm trying to build in you persistence. I'm trying to build in you endurance. I'm building your faith. Don't stop believing. Don't stop praying. The word picture that I like to use for this. And for I saw one time this documentary. And then I've heard people talk about this. I saw a documentary, one of those science channels on farming. I find this intriguing because I was not raised on farms. And it was about a baby chick. It was about a baby chick in the egg. And now it's time for the baby chick to be born. To break out of the egg. This is intriguing. This is heavy. For those of you urban people, take note. Those of you farm people, you'll get it. You know where I'm going. And it showed the egg, and it showed a little crack in the eggshell as the little baby chick was using its beak. Beep, 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 beep. A little crack. And you said, oh, isn't that cute? He's trying to come out. He's ready to be born. And then you see, eventually you see the beak breaking through the shell. And then you see the shell crack more, and you see the beak popping in. Oh, look at that. It's about to be born. Oh, this is going to be good. Oh, let's videotape this. This is awesome. This is national news. Now it's taking a while. I'm watching and thinking, I can't believe I'm spending time watching this thing. And I'm watching like a fast motion, you know, like one of those time lapse thing. And then it shows like a day later. And I'm thinking, a day later, you're still trying to get out? Come on, try harder. And then break. And then cracks more. And you see the bird in there. All scrawny, ugly. And you see it and say, oh, you're almost there. And then the bird is like, I'm tired. It goes back to sleep inside the eggshell that is cracked. And you're like, what? You're so close. Hurry up. And he's resting. And then he's again. And then struggling. Takes the little head out of the eggshell and takes one little leg out. You got it. You got it, man. You got it. You got it. And then struggling. And this is where the newscaster said, this is when people, they know farming, know better. Because people like you New Yorkers, you see this and you say, oh, poor little chick. Let me help that chick get out. He's tried so much. And you New Yorkers, you want to go there and help because you are the Messiah. You know better. You want to help people. You want to stay on schedule. And you see what happens is people that don't know better, you can go in and say, look, the shell is 85% cracked. The bird is hanging outside, one leg out, beak out, one wing out. He's tried so much. Let me do a little help here. And you can gently take the shell and pull it open. Okay, bird, come out. You're free. You know why that's the worst thing you can do? Because what will happen is that bird will eventually die. Why? Because God designed it so well. He designed that little chick to have to struggle to come out. Because it is in the struggle that that little chick develops endurance that it needs to live the life of a chicken. And if you prematurely break the shell open so that the chick can come out, yeah, he'll step out, he'll fluff up for a while, but he won't have the endurance that he needed or she needed to live a life of a chicken. Sometimes God will allow you to struggle and to persist. Why? Because he's punishing you? No. He's building in you the endurance that you need for the assignment he has for you in the future. Can I hear an amen? Hallelujah. And sometimes he'll have you look for the little cloud. He'll have you look 6-7 times until it is complete, until he knows you are ready to graduate from that season of training, season of preparation for what God has for you. And number three, musicians, would you come? Elijah prepared to receive. Verse 44. Then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. So he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. I'll stop there. The servant saw a nothing cloud. the size of a man's hand. But Elijah saw the abundance of rain coming. He saw the answer to his prayer arriving. You see, folks, you have to learn how not to focus on the smallness, but focus the fact that it is a cloud. Some of you, you've been praying and God has sent you little clouds. And some of you have learned to praise God for the little cloud. And some of you have been focused on the fact it's little, while others realize, but it's a cloud. My wife and I, we've been praying for many of you. Some of you with job situations. And God has sent you little clouds. Be careful. Don't despise small beginnings. Maybe, Brother Dodd, you've had a crazy year. But if you look carefully, you've seen some little clouds. You may have seen one even this week. You ought to raise a hallelujah. Did I see Sister Lynn this morning, Lynn Cummins? She may have slipped out. Her husband's in the hospital. One of our board members. But we've been in contact with them. They've seen some little clouds. Oh, you may not have think it's no big deal. But for them, they've been praying about this. They're excited. I got a text last night from them. They're excited. There's a little cloud. Don't focus on the fact it's small. Focus on the fact it is a cloud. It is God working. See, what happens is sometimes God, either you answer it 100% all the way, a whole plate of tomatoes. But when God sends you a pea-sized tomato that's still green, we disregard it, not realizing God is answering. God is working. Medical, financial, family, business. What is God doing? Don't miss God. I said, don't miss God. The man of God, he did not allow his servant's perspective to change his perception. He saw God moving. He saw the cloud, but the servant saw small. Never allow someone else's perception someone else's perspective change your perception. If you see God moving, don't let anyone tell you, that's not God. That's just an accident. That's just lucky. That's just a coincidence. Never let anyone else change the fact that you see God working. He tells the servant, hey, you may not see much. You may see a cloud the size of a man's hand, but I see rain coming. So, servant, get your umbrella, get your rubbers, get ready, because if you don't get ready, those flash floods are coming, and when they come, you'll be left stranded. But look at verse 45. Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. The little cloud was a preview of an answer to prayer. The little cloud was God saying, get ready. The little cloud was a reminder that little is much when God is in it. So I ask you the question this morning, what little clouds has God been sending you? Have you gotten excited? No, I won't get excited until I see a huge cloud. No, don't do that to yourself. If God has sent you a little cloud and you know it's a God cloud, raise a hallelujah. God is working. Would you stand? One more verse. Verse 46. I had completed my sermon. Then I noticed this verse, and God gave me an insight. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah. Let me say it again. The hand of the Lord came upon Elijah. And he girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. In the Bible, when you see the phrase, the hand of the Lord, it speaks about the mighty hand of God, God's power, God's anointing, God's provision, the empowerment. When the hand of the Lord comes upon you, you know it. You don't have to ask people, do you think I have the hand of the Lord upon me? You know it. And others will know it. The hand of the Lord came upon the man of God at the point he needed that empowerment. He girded his loins, tightened his belt, and he had such a supernatural anointing upon his life that he outran the chariot that Ahab was riding in. Supernatural ability to outrun horse or horses in a chariot. Supernatural upon him. God's hand came upon him at the point he needed it. So when I read this, I realized, wait a minute. 2-3 verses earlier, the servant told Elijah, I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. He not only saw the rain coming, he saw the hand of God coming towards Elijah. I'm here to remind you that when you are praying for God to work in your life, not only will God bring the rain, he'll bring a hand upon your life. The anointing you need, the empowerment you need, the ability you need, the supernatural insight, discernment, wisdom, abilities that you need, he'll bring it to you at the point that you need it. And if you need to outrun chariots, he will help you outrun chariots. Hallelujah. See, I believe that not only does God wants to provide for you, protect you, lead you, God wants to put his hand upon you. The hand of God upon you. Oh, at that point, the Bible talks about the latter rain. The latter rain wasn't just a general experience. It was also God's hand upon people. And I know who you are this morning. You've been praying. And I'm here to tell you that God did give you a word. Hold on to his word. Persist. Don't mistake in waiting as punishment, but it's really preparation. And when the rain comes, there will come a hand upon your life also. There will come the ability, the divine ability that you need for that assignment. I believe that with all my heart. Every time I preach, I say, Lord, give me an anointing. Every time I get behind the pulpit, Lord, give me an anointing. Let your hand rest upon me for this moment. Let me not rely on my experience, my skill. I need the hand of God. Whenever it is that God has for you to do, say, Lord, I'll do it when the time is right, in your timing. Not only do I want your timing, I want your hand upon my life. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I just sense that some of you, you have been praying. God has given you a word. God has given you a promise for rain, an abundance of rain. And now you're in the waiting mode. You're in the I believe God is working in me, but no one else does. You see a pea-sized tomato, but God is, and other people saying, nah, you're just being super spiritual. I'm here to tell you, don't despise small beginnings. See God working. Little becomes much when God is in it. If God is in it, it doesn't matter that it's small. Just keep in mind it is a cloud. And you don't want to get ahead of God. You don't want to miss God. And you certainly don't want to do anything without God's hand being upon your life. This morning you're praying, you're trusting God. God has given you a word. You've been holding on to God's word. And God is reminding you, don't quit. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't drag your feet. Don't let others' opinions deter you. Don't let the fact you're waiting discourage you. Don't stop. If he said it, he'll do it. If he spoke it, he'll bring it to pass. With every head bowed, every eye closed, you've seen Pastor Cortez. That was for me. I'm waiting. I've been praying for something, and sometimes I think it's coming. It's a whole platter of tomatoes. But I realize that God has been answering my prayers. And pea-sized tomatoes, something small, something that doesn't look like much, but I realize it is much. You are working. And I want to wait upon you, wait on your timetable. I don't want to upslide. I don't want to slide past you. I want to wait until it's the perfect time. And at that point, Father, I know you're going to give me the anointing that I need for such assignment. If that's you this morning, this message has spoken to you, would you signify by the raising of your hand? Quickly, quickly. Yes, yes. Yes, all throughout the audience. Hallelujah. Put your hands down. This morning you're saying, Pastor Cortez, I'm not where I ought to be with the Lord. I'm just not right with God. I'm in church, but I know I'm not right with God. I know that. I haven't surrendered to God, or I've unsurrendered. I once surrendered, but unsurrendered. Or I've been serving him like 80%. And God has said, no, I need the whole thing. You surrender, and I'll bless you. I'll use you. And you're not right with God, and you want to get it right with God. Give your heart to Jesus Christ this morning. If that's you, would you raise your hand? All those of you that raise your hand, would you allow me to pray for you? I'm going to pray that God would just make your hearing more keen so you can hear the sound get louder and louder and stay in tune with what he's doing and tune out with the sounds of the world. I want you to have everything that God has for you, everything. But I, and more importantly, my wife and I, we don't want any one of you to miss God. To miss God. So if you raise your hand, I want to pray for you. Would you step into the aisles quickly? You raise your hand. Would you step into the aisles? And would you come to the front? And I'm going to close in prayer by praying for you this morning. Just come, walk towards the middle so that I know who you are. This is beautiful. Look at this. And what I'm going to ask you to do, I want you to raise at least one hand. And I want you to sing just part of that song, Raise a Hallelujah. And your job here today is not to wait for me to pray for you, but to raise a hallelujah. 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 The rest of you who join us, hallelujah. Come on, let's give Jesus a hand this morning. Hallelujah. To today and this week, I'm going to ask you to do something. Today and this week, as you're going about your business, as you're driving, as you're cooking, as you're commuting, as whatever you're doing, this is your assignment. Keep the hallelujahs rolling. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're driving. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're checking your emails. Hallelujah. You're going to HEB. Hallelujah. 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 As you're managing situations, hallelujah. As you're putting the kids to bed, hallelujah. When you wake up in the middle of the night and you can't sleep and your mind is going crazy, you're having a nighttime, your thoughts go crazier than during the day, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. You're reading the Bible and hallelujah. And as God begins to bring you little clouds, He may not bring you big, He may bring you a big cloud this week, but as God brings to you little clouds, then let the hallelujah, hyphenate the hallelujah with thank you, Jesus. See, He'll bring you little, you know how He may do that? You read the Bible and there's one verse, one phrase that comes out, jumps at you. Just one little cloud, one phrase, woo, you go, wow. Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You're listening to Christian radio, and there's a song, and there's a verse in the song that just really kicks in. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You have a dream, and it just encourages you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You feel a little prompting. Ooh. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray for Family Life Assembly of God, our church family, our friends are here today. Father, I pray that we will have our spiritual ears opened to hear the sound of the abundance of rain, regardless of the drought situation we may be experiencing, regardless of the 3-year famine, that we may stay in tune to the sound of the abundance of rain. Tune into what you are saying and doing. Tune out the noise of the world and the criticism of people, the opinions, their criticism, their junk, and tune into you. Secondly, Father, I pray that we would just stay persistent until we see the beginning of the answers to prayer. And when we do see a little cloud the size of a man's hand, I pray that instead of brushing it off, that we may give you a hallelujah. That we may see you at work and praise you for every little cloud that you send our way. Lord, knowing that it is a cloud, and that little cloud is just a preview of the great flood of rain that is coming our way. And lastly, Father, we pray that your hand will come upon our life, that we'll be able to be filled with your anointing and your presence. And if necessary for us to outrun chariots, that we would do so under the unction and function of the Holy Spirit. Lord, let this week be a hallelujah week. Lord, like the old song from the islands, hallelujah anyhow. Never let life's troubles let you down. When life's trouble come your way, lift your hand up high and say, hallelujah anyhow. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen and amen. God bless you. Love one another. Pray for our children this week. Amen.